All right, ready to dive deep today. We're tackling some thought-provoking essays by Tom Woods.
Tom Woods, yeah.
You know the guy who won the Hayek Lifetime Achievement Award?
Oh, yeah.
And wrote those New York Times bestsellers?
Mm-hmm.
Like The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History?
That's the one.
And Meltdown.
Yep.
So we're going to be looking at some of his essays today.
Okay.
These essays are really for folks who, you know, question the status quo.
Right. Not for those who are like, everything's fine.
Yeah. If you think the American establishment is doing a bang-up job,
uh-huh,
you might want to skip this one.
Yeah, this one's not for you.
But if you're ready to, like, challenge some conventional wisdom,
okay,
then buckle up.
All right.
We're going to talk about some fascinating stuff. Like, did unions really give us the weekend?
Oh, interesting.
What are the real stories behind July 4th?
Okay.
And get this. Woods had a chilling encounter with somebody who wants to dismantle modern civilization.
Oh, wow. That sounds intense.
Yeah.
We'll also touch on some other really intriguing stuff.
Yeah.
Like his critique of Disney's Hall of Presidents.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
As like a propaganda machine.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's jump right into this whole debate about capitalism versus unions.
Okay.
Woods argues in one of his essays that it wasn't unions that got us better working conditions and things like the weekend.
Right.
It was actually capitalism.
Yeah, I've heard him talk about that.
So his argument basically is that as societies get more capital,
mm-hmm,
and become more productive, you know, that creates the wealth that allows for more leisure time and better working conditions.
It's not about like businesses suddenly becoming nice.
Right. Exactly.
It's just how the economics work out.
Right. Yeah.
Makes sense.
And he even brings up this example I found really surprising about sweatshop workers.
Oh, yeah. What about that?
So he points out that often when sweatshop workers are given the choice, they'll actually choose higher wages over, like, improved working conditions.
Interesting. So it's not always as simple as we think.
Not at all. Especially in, you know, developing economies.
Yeah.
This really challenges that narrative that we always hear.
The evil corporations narrative.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So how do you think this historical perspective should inform the debates we're having today? You know, about stuff like minimum wage and worker benefits.
Well, it makes you wonder if those simplistic solutions are really the best approach.
Yes.
Like, you know, if we just force higher wages or benefits before the economy is really ready, are we helping or hurting?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
It's a complex issue.
Definitely makes you think twice about those easy answers.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to July 4th.
Okay.
Everyone knows the slogan, no taxation without representation.
Oh,
right. But Woods argues there's this much deeper meaning behind the holiday.
Like what?
Well, he says there are these three core principles that were central to the colonists,
uh-huh,
to how they envisioned this new nation.
Interesting.
Local self-government, the right to secede, and strict constitutional interpretation.
Oh, okay.
And these are ideas that really challenge how we think about government today.
Especially that balance between states and the federal government.
Exactly.
Well,
can you explain a little more about what strict construction means?
Sure. Basically, it means sticking to the original meaning of the Constitution.
Okay.
You know, instead of viewing it as some kind of living document that changes with the times.
Right.
Which has huge implications for, you know, debates about things like federal overreach or the role of the Supreme Court.
So how do you see this principle playing out and the issues we're dealing with today? Let's take gun control, for example.
Well, someone arguing for strict construction would probably say the Second Amendment is pretty clear, right?
Mm.
It protects the right to bear arms. Any attempt to restrict that right goes against what the Constitution intended.
But someone with a more flexible view might argue that we need to understand the Second Amendment in today's context.
Exactly.
With all the concerns about gun violence.
Right. So it's not just a historical debate. It's a live one.
Yeah.
With real consequences.
Okay. Now let's talk about this encounter Woods had that really gave me chills.
Oh, yeah. The one with the green anarchist.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
So this person basically believes that modern civilization is unsustainable and harmful to the planet.
Mm.
To the point where they advocate for going back to a more like primitive way of life.
Wow.
And Woods really pushes back on this idea.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, he talks about all the progress we've made, the things we take for granted.
Right, like modern medicine.
Exactly. Technology.
Yeah.
He even criticizes the lack of original thought in that conversation. Like, this person's just relying on these old, tired leftist cliches.
And that romanticized view of the past, right?
Yeah.
Where everything was simple and pure.
Woods really believes there's a certain human dignity that comes with modern civilization.
Right. It makes you think.
It's like, are we willing to give up all the comforts of modern life for the sake of environmentalism?
Right. And who would really suffer the most in that scenario?
Mm-hmm. Definitely something to consider.
Yeah.
Speaking of challenging narratives, let's get into Woods' critique of Disney's Hall of Presidents.
Oh, boy. He doesn't pull any punches there, does he?
No, he calls it out as a straight-up propaganda machine.
A sanitized version of American history.
Yeah, and he uses specific examples to back that up.
Okay, like what?
Well, he talks about how the American Revolution is portrayed as just a fight to choose our own leaders.
Oversimplifying it a bit, don't you think?
Yeah.
There was so much more to it than that.
Exactly. It completely misses that deeper desire for, you know, self-government and limited government.
Right. The principles behind it.
Then there's his issue with how Andrew Jackson and the nullification crisis are presented.
Oh, yeah. What about that?
The show tries to link them to slavery, but Woods argues that's just wrong.
It's more about state sovereignty and resisting federal overreach. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Lincoln.
What does he say about Lincoln?
Woods argues that the show ignores his real motivations for the Civil War.
Mm.
It paints this sanitized picture of him as this hero who just wanted to end slavery.
Interesting.
And he goes on to criticize how other presidents are portrayed.
Like who?
Like Theodore Roosevelt, FDR, LBJ.
Okay.
All those complexities, all their failures, they're just glossed over.
Right, to create this feel-good story.
Yeah.
It's not just about historical accuracy, though, is it?
No, it's about how these narratives shape how we understand the past.
And that influences our present, you know?
Exactly.
Even our future.
It's like he's saying, don't just accept the easy story. Dig deeper.
Ask questions.
Yeah. Form your own conclusions.
I like that.
And speaking of digging deeper, we've got a lot more to explore with these Tom Woods essays.
Welcome back to our deep dive.
You know, something that really struck me in these essays is how timely they feel. Hmm. Like, Woods was writing about stuff back in 2017 that's even more relevant today.
Right. Like, he was predicting the future or something.
Totally. Like, when he talks about America potentially breaking up.
Oh, yeah.
He was writing this years before the divisions we see now became so intense.
Way ahead of the curve.
He talks about this bygone era when people could disagree politically and still have civil conversations, maybe even find common ground.
Ah, the good old days.
Right. And he gives this example of Bennett Cerf.
Who's that?
He was a book publisher, kind of left-leaning, but he could still acknowledge Ayn Rand's talent, even though they were on opposite sides of the political spectrum.
Oh, interesting. So like intellectual honesty.
Exactly. Mm. It feels like we've lost that ability to engage with different viewpoints without, like, immediately getting outraged or attacking each other personally.
Social media hasn't helped with that, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And Woods argues that because of this loss of shared culture, this common ground, bridging the political divide is nearly impossible.
Hmm, yeah. It's tough when you can't even agree on basic facts.
And he calls out the hypocrisy of the left, too.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, like, they'll be outraged over temporary immigration restrictions, but completely silent on humanitarian crises happening elsewhere in the world.
Interesting.
So their outrage seems very selective, very politically motivated.
That's a good point. But here's where it gets really interesting. Woods suggests that this breakup of America might actually be a good thing.
A good thing.
Yeah. He sees it as like a path to more happiness, more freedom for everyone involved.
So like instead of forcing people to stay together in this big centralized system.
Right.
Maybe it's better to acknowledge that doesn't work and let different groups govern themselves.
Yeah, it's a pretty radical idea.
For sure. But just a few years ago, secession was considered this fringe idea, almost taboo.
And now
it seems like more people are open to it.
On both sides of the spectrum.
Like maybe they're realizing that trying to control this massive, diverse nation from one central point is just doomed to fail.
Mm-hmm. It's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. So if America IS breaking up, what does Woods say we should do about it? Well, he doesn't give a step-by-step plan.
Okay.
But he seems to favor a peaceful, voluntary separation.
Right.
Where groups can form their own communities based on their own values.
Instead of this top-down, one-size-fits-all approach.
Yeah, it goes back to that whole think and act locally theme.
Empowering individuals' communities to shape their own destinies. Okay, let's talk about another sensitive topic Woods tackles. White supremacy. He argues that the meaning of this term has been completely twisted and is often used to silence anyone who disagrees with a certain narrative.
Yeah, he gives this example of a flyer from the University of Kansas. It basically labeled anyone who used the phrase, "Make America Great Again," as a neo-Nazi.
Oh, wow.
Talk about weaponizing language.
Yeah, that's pretty extreme.
And he brings up this point that's so obvious, but it often gets overlooked.
What's that?
If America is truly a white supremacist society, then why are so many non-white people choosing to live here?
Yeah, it doesn't really add up. He also talks about how if these white supremacist views were truly mainstream, those holding them wouldn't have to hide.
Right. Good point. He brings up this interview where Tucker Carlson asked a professor that same question.
Oh, about America being a white supremacist society.
Yeah. And, you know, the professor's response basically boiled down to, it's still a white supremacist system, but without any real evidence to back it up.
Just asserting it as fact.
Exactly. And it's frustrating because these accusations are often thrown around without any nuance, without any attempt to even understand the other side's perspective. Woods compares it to this character from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Wonka the Sane.
Wonka the Sane.
Yeah, he built this house and declared the whole world, except for his house, an asylum.
Oh, I get it.
Like, if you want a rational, honest discussion, you need to step outside of that asylum.
Find your own space where you can think freely.
Exactly. And that's what these essays are all about. Okay, let's shift gears to education. Woods has a lot to say about the state of modern schooling, especially when it comes to promoting intellectual freedom.
A topic close to his heart, for sure. He shares this story about recommending his book, Education Without the State, to someone on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
And this person immediately dismissed it without even reading it.
It's amazing how people can be so closed-minded.
Right. The argument was that not everyone can afford private school or homeschooling.
As if the government's massive tax burden doesn't contribute to that.
Exactly. And Woods points out that millions of people in developing countries manage to pay for private education.
It's about priorities, right? And then there's the classic argument, parents can't teach physics.
Yeah, I've heard that one, as if homeschooling families are just stuck with whatever their parents know.
Woods calls him out on that, too. He's like, are you kidding? We have the internet now. He mentions the Ron Paul curriculum as a model that really empowers students.
Oh, interesting.
So it's about challenging that traditional top-down approach to education that, you know, stifles creativity and critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Woods sees government-run schooling as this major obstacle to intellectual freedom.
More like a tool for indoctrination, right?
Exactly. It's about taking control of your own education and empowering parents and students to choose what they learn and how they learn it. Okay, in another essay, Woods dives into this idea of tacit consent.
Okay, what's that all about?
It's often used to justify government authority. But Woods thinks it's ridiculous.
Why?
Well, imagine buying a house or a car based on a tacit agreement. No contract, no clear terms, nothing.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
But somehow, when it comes to government, this entity that could take our money and send us to war, we're just supposed to accept that we've consented to be ruled.
Just by existing.
Right. Woods traces this idea back to those Enlightenment thinkers who were trying to, like, square the circle of individual liberty and government power.
It's like they couldn't admit that government inherently means some people ruling over others, often without their genuine consent.
And Woods also challenges this idea that just because you benefit from living in a certain country, that means you've consented to its government.
That's a good point.
Like, by that logic, were people in Stalinist Russia obligated to support that regime?
Just because they, you know, benefited from some government services.
Exactly. He brings up this funny story about a guy who was criticizing his views on the social contract, but couldn't actually explain how we supposedly consented to be governed.
Yeah.
Like, when pressed, the guy just said, well, we granted Congress the power to tax us.
Avoiding the real question.
Totally. And it shows how ingrained this blind obedience to authority has become. It's like we're not even supposed to question it.
A dangerous mindset.
All right, let's switch gears and talk about Woods' personal experiences with criticism. You know, he's definitely not shy about challenging the status quo, and that's gotten him into some hot water. He tells this story about his book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History.
Oh, yeah.
And the backlash he faced when it came out.
I can imagine. That book was pretty controversial.
Yeah, he was attacked by, like, everyone.
From both sides, I bet.
Exactly. Neoconservatives, those so-called libertarian lates.
Wow, even his own side was against him.
Yeah, because he was so anti-war and defended ideas like nullification. He was a threat to the establishment narrative, both on the left and the right. He says he was terrified at the time, thought his career might be over.
What did he do?
Well, instead of giving in, he just kept writing, speaking, building his platform.
Good for him. Don't let the bullies win.
And it paid off. The book became a New York Times bestseller. His audience kept growing. He even got to, like, publicly debate and dismantle his critics' arguments.
Oh, that must have felt good. It's a reminder that you shouldn't be afraid to stand up for what you believe in, even when it's unpopular.
Especially when it's unpopular. And it also shows the power of building your own platform, connecting directly with your audience.
Okay, I gotta tell you about this funny exchange Woods had with someone who told him, if you hate government so much, why don't you just move to Somalia?
Oh, the classic love it or leave it argument. What did he say to that?
So Woods, being Woods, comes back with these factual points that totally destroy their argument. He's like, Somalia's had a government since 2012, and that by some measures, the country was actually better off during its stateless period.
That's a mic drop moment right there.
I know, right? He even references the work of this economist, Peter Leeson, who's studied stateless societies and found that they often function pretty well.
Wow, so it's not just theoretical. There's actual research on this.
Exactly. It shows that he's not afraid to engage with his critics and challenge their assumptions, even in a humorous way.
It's like he's using humor to, like, slip in some serious intellectual points.
Yeah, brilliant. It also highlights that we should be questioning those assumptions we have about government, like that it's always necessary for order and stability.
Yeah, maybe things aren't so simple.
Food for thought, for sure.
Man, we've covered so much ground today with these Tom Woods essays.
Yeah, it's been a real whirlwind.
I mean, from economics to history to, like, cultural issues, it's been a deep dive, for sure.
And he doesn't shy away from controversy, does he?
No, not at all. So I'm curious, what really stuck with you from all of this?
That's a good question. You know, one thing that keeps coming back to me is that idea of individual empowerment.
Yeah, that's definitely a strong theme in his work.
Like, he really emphasizes taking responsibility for your own life, you know, not just waiting for the government to fix everything.
It's about thinking critically, being proactive, charting your own course.
Exactly. And it's not just about going it alone either.
Right. It's about finding those communities, those networks of like-minded people who share those values of self-reliance and freedom.
Like his private Facebook group, right?
Yeah. And the Mises Institute.
Liberty Classroom.
All those outside the asylum spaces.
Exactly. Where you can have those honest conversations, challenge the mainstream narratives, and build something new.
And speaking of narratives, that's another big takeaway for me. Like, understanding how those narratives are shaped and who benefits from them.
Oh, totally. Remember the Disney Hall of Presidents example?
Oh, yeah.
History gets presented in this super sanitized way, you know?
Or like a fairy tale version of America.
Exactly. And it's not just Disney.
It's happening everywhere. The news media, education, even on social media.
We're constantly being bombarded with these narratives that are trying to manipulate us, so we got to be careful, right?
Yeah, Woods is really pushing us to develop that critical thinking, to question everything, to dig deeper and find different perspectives before we form our own opinions.
Mm.
He believes truth comes from open debate, not from censorship or silencing people we disagree with.
Right, and that's something we should all strive for, I think.
Okay, before we wrap things up, I want to circle back to something that really got me thinking. That idea of America breaking up, it's a pretty radical concept, and I'm honestly still trying to process it all. What are your final thoughts on that?
It's definitely food for thought. You know, Woods isn't necessarily calling for some violent revolution or anything like that.
Right. It's not about chaos.
He's more focused on the potential benefits of a more peaceful, voluntary separation, where people with shared values can form their own communities, their own systems of governance.
So it's not about clinging to this idea of a unified nation no matter what, even when it means sacrificing individual liberty.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that diversity of thought and lifestyle isn't inherently a bad thing.
Yeah. And maybe different groups would actually be happier and more prosperous if they were free to create their own societies based on their own beliefs.
It's a really interesting idea, and it definitely challenges how we usually think about nationhood.
For sure. Now, before we go, I want to leave you with one final thought from these essays that really stayed with me. Woods talks about how back in the late 60s, when Murray Rothbard, this prominent libertarian thinker, was asked how many libertarians there were in the world. His answer, 25.
25.
Yeah, imagine that. But here's the amazing part. Rothbard didn't let that stop him.
Mm.
He kept writing, teaching, spreading his ideas. And look at where we are today.
Millions of people identify as libertarians now.
It's incredible.
It just goes to show how powerful ideas can be.
Even if you feel like you're the only one who sees things a certain way, don't give up. Keep speaking your truth. Keep sharing your ideas, because you never know who might be listening. You might be that one voice that sparks a whole movement.
Yeah, like a ripple effect.
Exactly. And that's what I love about these Tom Woods essays.
Me too.
They're a reminder to keep thinking critically, keep challenging the status quo, and to never underestimate the power of your own voice. So to all you deep divers out there, keep digging, keep exploring, keep questioning, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.